Hello and welcome to the A440 Podcast, the one music podcast everyone can get in tune with. I'm your host, Charles Fiore, and that was 90 Day Dog by Spiderbags from their new album, Someday Everything Will Be Fine. That's out from Merge Records. Spiderbags has been getting rave reviews on the new album in Pitchfork and elsewhere. They recorded the album down in Memphis on a recorded direct-to-tape on a vintage Tascam 3888. And there's a bunch of special guests on there, including legendary Memphis studio musicians, as well as Patrick Stickles of Titus Andronicus. Definitely check it out. That's Someday Everything Will Be Fine, Spiderbags. Again, out from Merge Records. The album actually includes a cover of Charlie Rich's 1977 country hit, Rollin' With The Flow. And that track actually closes out the album. It runs 38 minutes, nonstop fun, true rock and roll. So I recently had the opportunity to belly up to the bar at the Atomic Fern in Durham, North Carolina, with Spiderbags bassist Steve Oliva. Steve is the bassist for Spiderbags. He's also the art director at Indie Weekly, the local alternative weekly in North Carolina's Triangle region. And he's the owner of Kitchen Island Showprints, which designs rock art, concert posters, festival advertising, and more. He's designed for bands such as Wilco, Bombadil, Some Army, Spiderbags, of course, Titus Andronicus, many more, including the Hopscotch Music Festival, annual festival in Raleigh, North Carolina. Just that little heads up, there's some background noise early on. The whole thing's pretty atmospheric. The background noise settles down eventually, and you know, just stick with it because it turned out to be a great freewheeling conversation on art and music and sort of the ephemeral nature of art and how ephemera can kind of be cool. And just a little disclaimer, there might be some strong language, not even necessarily from myself or Steve, but from some of the other patrons in the Atomic Fern. Anyway, I apologize in advance. There is some language. Thanks again to Spiderbags for letting us use that track to start off the episode. And without further ado, here's my conversation with Steve Oliva.
Yeah, I mean, I learned to play guitar when I was 14 or 15 or whatever. I'd always made art the whole time I was growing up. I didn't do a lot of art for several years after high school, and then I started playing in a rock and roll band again. I started playing in a rock and roll band with some friends that I'd known since I was a child. When I was at UNC, the band was called Rat Jackson. And I got back into making art because I needed to make flyers for those shows. And that's how a lot of people, how a ton of professional gig poster makers get started. It's a very common story. It's like, well, somebody's got to make the flyers for these shows that I'm playing. So I'll start doing it.
I guess that's me.
I'll make these flyers. Yeah. And it really, like, it didn't take long for me to fall, like, completely, like, head over heels in love with that aspect of it.
Because a natural fit. I mean, you've got
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and I, like, so it got me drawing again, and it got me interested in learning more about design and typography. And like conceptual illustration, and then from there, you start out making like photocopied flyers.
Right.
The next step
like,
is
like literally at like Kinko's, like running off.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, for years and years and years.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the next step is you want to learn to screen print them yourself, just because that's such a there's such a time-honored connection between like a screen-printed concert poster and a rock and roll show. So then, I was probably 23 or 4 when I like started teaching myself how to do that.
Wow.
You know, there's plenty of people that are, you know, who can give you advice. And honestly, this day and age, mean, get on YouTube, man. Like, you can learn how to do anything.
Yeah.
You can teach yourself how to repair a small engine or a screen print or anything else you need to do.
It saved me. YouTube has saved me a ton of money because every home repair project or whatever, I just YouTube it.
It took a few extra YouTube tutorials to learn how to be a screen printer.
Awesome.
And then you know, it's an art form like any other and a craft that requires really a lot of attention to detail and work to like actually get good at,
like just labor of time.
Yeah, man, pretty much endless. Really, really a lot of failures. It is, man. To get from, you know, completing like the illustration and design to actually having a final print that you have gotten all the colors on and they're all where they're supposed to be. There are like 30 ways it can go wrong every single time. Now, like after you've done it for long enough, you eliminate most of those.
Sure.
But sometimes they'll still crop up.
You never know, yeah.
Oh, yeah, no.
So it's one of those things I always feel like golf is like that. I don't play golf. I'm always like, it's just a ball. You should be able to hit it the same way every time, but it's like not. Writing's like that, too. You think if I could write a short story once, I would just do it every time. But
no, like, you're exactly right.
There's so many paths to failure.
Yeah, that's if I need an autobiography title, I'm like, go ahead and see if that one's spoken for you.
So many paths to fail. Probably not, actually. That one's probably available.
It's probably out there. You're right.
It'd be funny too if all your blurbs were very like depressing. Like, if he knew his blues from his reds, he might have been something.
I mean, Jesus Christ, this guy can't get out of his own way.
Yeah.
It's like a quote from my mom.
Yeah. That is like a parent quote for sure.
But
it takes a lot of stubborn. You gotta be stubborn, right? You gotta be like,
definitely. Yeah. Like, you know, it's the same with writing, it's the same with playing rock music. Like, the chances of you making a living at it are not great. So you're doing it because it's important to you and because you want to be good at something in the world and you want to leave some things behind. I'm still working on like.
So how does it work? Like, so a band comes to you, like they've seen your work at this point. They're like, Steve, I would love I need a poster for this upcoming tour or whatever. Like, is that how it works? I mean, how close do you work with them? Or like,
that's pretty much that's how it's worked the whole time I've been doing it, whatever, almost 10 years now. It'll either be like a band or a venue or like the band's management. It's been a slow build for me because I don't really, I shouldn't say because, because I don't know what the cause of things are, but I don't do a great job of promoting myself. So it's taken a long time for me to like develop the client base that I have, but it was because I was most comfortable doing it slowly and organically, because I knew in the beginning that I didn't want to get too much out there, because I knew that I still had a lot of work to do to get to a place where I'd be comfortable working on a large scale. The recognizability of my client base has grown at the same time as my ability has.
Absolutely.
It's worked out very well for me. So, like, now I'm very confident in everything that I do.
Right.
I'm working with, like, Jason Isbell, you know? It's still a slow burn, and there's still room to grow, and I'm happy with it that way. You know, I don't have time to be on Facebook promoting the things that I do all the time.
Sure,
I'd rather be doing the things.
Yeah, that's when you hit the sweet spot, right? When you've got so much work, it's like, I'm not even out there promoting it.
To be fair, my work is... You might be surprised to learn this, but the amount of work that I'm able to get done right now is significantly less, because there are only so many hours in the day, and most of them are occupied by by my daughter.
And there's a baseball game like every day of the summer. I mean,
really,
you know what I mean?
It's a lot of baseball.
There's a lot of baseball to watch. Yeah.
You know, damn. A lot of baseball to watch. The carpet's got to get vacuumed. Yeah. The dishes got to get done.
Right. They don't do themselves these days. You know what I mean?
It's a fact.
Certainly not.
It's a fact.
But do they come to you with like? Do bands come to you with like a concept? Are they like? I want this is kind of what we're thinking. This is what the album is like. Or are you listening to the album, or how's that work?
Oh yeah. If it's not somebody that I'm familiar with, which doesn't happen very often, but has happened, I always make sure I like to listen to the music and see if I can pull out sometimes a specific image if there's something very strong. Most of the time it's a theme or a feeling. Some people will come to you with a very specific thing that they want. Sometimes I'm not comfortable with that and I'll turn it down. Because at the end, like, my name's got to go on it.
Yeah.
And if it's somebody comes to me with something that I think is, I'm not going to make a value judgment on it, but if it's not something that fits what I do,
it's not your style. Yeah,
exactly. A lot of people, again, at this point, you know, I've got something of a reputation, so a lot of people will come to me and just tell me to go nuts, you know?
They
know what I do, and they'll say, hey, maybe make it sort of like this one or sort of like that one, but pretty much just get free reign. Some people want to go through revisions. That's cool, too.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, this is an honest question. Like, is there like a? I mean, like rock art is like a genre of itself, right? I mean,
definitely.
I mean, there are like expectations. I imagine there's like tropes or whatever. Or, you know what I mean, or just like there are things you have to satisfy that make a cool rock poster, right? I mean, that's.
But I think that is. I think that there was probably a time in the past where there were like. We had to hue closer to certain, like it had to have like a pretty girl on it or something like that.
Or
a car or something.
Yeah, right, right.
Nowadays, especially, you know, bands at a certain level that have made it on their own, sort of independently, will tend to give an artist more free reign the way that they want when they're making their music. So you'll see rock posters out there that are everything from like basically cartoons to photorealism. And they're all produced the same way. They're all screen printed. And there are enough artists out there of varying style that you can get a rock poster now that looks like pretty much anything you want it to look like, which I think rules.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's great. It's expanded everything.
Yeah.
It keeps you from getting, I imagine it keeps you from kind of getting bored too, like knowing that you have like, the boundaries are expanded, right? I mean, you don't have to, be a hot chick every time. Whatever.
Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Like it, I'd like to challenge myself to make them, because it's like when you're making anything, right? It's like when you're cooking dinner for your family.
Yeah.
It's very easy to once a week. Well, I'll just make this pasta. Or
they love this pasta. Yeah. I'm just gonna make it.
Yeah. I've made that pasta several times on these rock posters.
Gotcha.
I got a lot of posters out there that are that flavor of pasta.
Right, right, right.
I try very hard to like not do the same thing over and over again if I can.
But I think that's very obvious. Like I think looking at your like the gallery on your website, it's like. I mean, you can tell they're done by this, maybe by the same person, but I don't think they're repetitive. You know what I mean? There's not one that you're like, at least to me, that looks exactly like that one or whatever. Like,
that's the goal. I appreciate you saying that.
No, for sure.
No, I work very hard to make sure that that's the case. I don't want it. Yeah, I mean, if I'm going to put the time into making it, and it is a lot of time, then it ought to be worth making it.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's, I love it. Like, a couple of the hopscotch posters especially, like, the one, I don't know what year it was, but like the one where it's like,
I doubt I do either. Don't worry.
It's like there's like a map of downtown Raleigh, it's probably wasn't your most challenging one to like create, but it was like just smart as hell. I mean, I was like, that is fucking smart. You know what I mean? You know?
I mean, I'd be lying if I didn't say, like. I try to make them smart. I want there to be want there to be something you got to dig in a little bit to get
for
when
sure.
I make it.
That's it. But that one's like so subtle, but also just like perfect. I don't know. It really is.
Well, nice, I mean, man. I think, you know, I don't think art's work very much without subtlety, honesty.
Yeah.
I mean, it can be assaulting, but there needs to be something underneath it.
Layers, yeah, man, for sure. Yeah, totally. It's funny that you said that you have like librarian like background, because like I feel like some of your stuff is like you dig up a lot of old photographs, right? I feel like it's like an archival some of your work, maybe like you're finding old photographs and stuff like that. Like
Library of Congress, usually. Yeah.
What's that? Library of Congress?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I mean, you can feel it. I mean, you're digging through old stuff and just looking for cool pictures. Is that cool?
Yeah. So yeah, that's one of the styles that that's a tried and true way of making rock posters or even collage in general.
Yeah. Right,
you know,
right.
Taking old things and repurposing them. You know, it's not you're not ripping somebody off by taking an old photograph and putting it on a rock poster. As long as what you do is recontextualize it.
Right.
You know, if you just, you absolutely can just rip somebody off. I do not do that.
Not recommended for you.
No, don't.
Aspiring rock poster artists.
No, don't just steal photos from the internet and put your band's name on them. Don't do that, please.
Yeah.
Yeah, like when you find something old and use it as your source material, yeah, you have to make it into a new thing by the context that you put it in. And I think that is a super fun challenge. I love putting, if there was a goal to most of the work that I do, is to make it very subtly surreal. I want to have little stories going on with maybe one element that doesn't really fit, but the story still makes sense.
Yeah. I totally feel that, because I feel like your posters, sometimes there's like the name is escaping me now, but there's like Army of One, maybe, or there's a band that you do
I did a lot for a band called Some Army.
Some Army, thank you.
Yeah.
But then there's one, it looks like a photo of like in front of like an orphanage or something like that, mm-hmm. with like kids lined up, you know? So it's like the army is there, but it's in a very removed way. Like it's sort of like you've taken that idea, but like pushed it so far. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's the idea with something like that.
I mean, like in writing, we always feel like metaphors are like stronger, like the further away the thing you're talking about and you're comparing it to are, right? Like that's like the strongest metaphors are like as far away as possible from each other.
Oh, wow.
In real life, you know what I mean? I don't know.
Oh, wow.
Like you imagine there's like two power stations or whatever, and like those things are like, that's powerful when you do that, right?
Wow, what an incredibly cool man.
Well, yeah.
This kind of sums up pretty much everything I'm trying to, like an entire life philosophy I've been trying to sort out as far as making art is right there. Well, I never knew that.
Well, you're nailing it, that's what I'm saying. Like, That's your stuff.
Man, that's terrific. Yeah. Well,
because there's a connection there, but it's like,
yeah, no.
It gets a while to get there.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, and you know, I think that's good. Like,
yeah.
Especially in recent years, like I go out of my way to make things that aren't immediately obvious, that might take a couple of minutes, like to sort it out.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I object to the way people engage with the world today. I don't like it.
Right.
I don't.
Too obvious or what? Too
like. No, it's this total. It's this attention span of 4 seconds or less. It's the instant accessibility of everything, and yet the examination of nothing.
Yeah.
I can't cotton to that way of dealing with the world.
Right.
And I think, you know, if I'm going to make some things.
Yeah.
I've had this argument before, like, no, I don't want it to be so obvious and easy.
Yeah.
You know, Faulkner's not easy.
It's not easy, yeah. Poetry's not easy. I mean,
no.
Whatever, yeah. most of the poster.
A rock and roll poster doesn't have to be easy either.
Yeah, and it shouldn't be. I mean, the bands aren't hiring you to make some easy thing, right? I'm with you.
Yeah.
That's why I really admire, like, publications and stuff that do longer form work, because you're like, that's cool. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's, like, so rare now to find, like, in-depth.
There are still people who want to work to consume art.
Yeah.
Because it's worthwhile work.
Do you think this is a random question? Do you think that music has color to it? Like when you hear songs, do you see like color?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely. I do that. Do you ask because you do that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I do that when I hear when I think of a movie, I'll think of a color.
Really?
When I think of a book that I've read, I'll think of a color. When I think of a town, I'll think of a color. Like, that happens to me all the time.
That's weird, yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely. And that's actually usually a great starting point for making a poster.
Okay. What color kind of gets generated by the sound of that poster?
Think about like there are concrete examples. Okay. So most of the time when I think of country music, I think of orange and yellow. I think it's a heat and dry earth kind of feeling that I think of.
I can see that.
When I think of electronic music, I think of blues, like computers.
Right. Fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, this is a lot to dig into right now.
It is. No, I actually have never really asked that question before. It kind of occurred to me.
Very funny that you asked that because I think of that. Yeah. I think that kind of thing all of the time.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like there are certain places that I go to, and every time, it's like there's a photo filter that comes down over my eyes, and it's colored orange or red or blue. When I go to New Jersey, it is colored like a bluish, like a steel blue. As soon as I get into New Jersey, everything is that color.
I mean, New Jersey has a, I'm not from there, you know, I haven't spent that much time there, but New Jersey has a color for me too, but it's not that. So it's interesting.
Which one is it for you?
It's more like orangey brownie, But I don't know why that is, you know what I mean?
What color is Carrboro to you?
Carrboro? It's actually very like dull. I love Carrboro.
Yeah, sure.
I love it. But the colors are very like kind of gravelly. I don't know.
See, to me, that's so funny you say gravelly, because to me they're dusty. They're like orange.
Yeah, well, see, they're probably pretty close. Yeah. That's interesting.
I get a lot of pushback.
Art's
okay.
Art's different than playing music with people, right? I mean,
it is.
You know what I mean?
It very much is, because when I play music with people, I've thought about this a lot.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm a very self-centered person. I think about myself all the time.
A lot, yeah. All the time, yeah.
All the time.
Go to bed thinking about myself.
Every day, all day. When I'm playing music, actually, I'm kind of the opposite of that. I want to help somebody else. Like, that's why I love playing in the Spider Bags, and I've loved it for as many years as it's been now.
Yeah.
We're at like 8 years now.
Okay, nice.
Because I loved that music before I started playing with them.
Yeah.
And the reason that I've done everything that I've done to stay with that is because I think that music is important and artful. And I think Dan McGee is one of America's greatest songwriters and one of America's great band leaders. And I want to help him make his art as good as he can make it. And that's when I'm working on something, if somebody's working with me, that's what I would prefer.
Right. That same support.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, people, yeah, that makes sense for sure. And music is like communication in a way that maybe making art's not necessarily.
I think it is. It's not.
I don't know.
Oh,
or like with each other, with other people, I guess.
Yeah, it does. It does tend to. I think that different musical settings are going to be. That's going to be different for different people. I think some people have a very dictatorial way of making music.
That's
some
true.
People want to collaborate.
That's true. No, you're right about that. Yeah. That's what always kind of stunk when you were like younger, like because if you played in a lot of bands growing up and stuff, but it was like you go to some dude's house and you get down in the basement and like he just like wanted to play his like, you know, like Metallica or whatever, which would be fine, but like, can we also do some of this? And he'd be like, no.
Yeah. All right, well, you're my house.
Yeah, right. We're playing like, all right, but this isn't going to work out.
That's
so much,
not
right?
fun at all.
That's not fun. Yeah,
that
right,
sucks.
Right. That sucks. Yeah.
That's no way. Making music with other people is like, yeah, it's. You're all creating art together.
Give and take. Yeah.
But at the same time, there's still usually one guy who's in charge.
Well, there's got to be. I mean, for sure. For sure. Somebody's got to get out there and have, like, the jutzpah. Like,
somebody's got to be the guy with his ass out in the wind singing the songs.
That's right. That's it. Yeah, it's easy being a bass player.
I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah. You happen to be a very entertaining performer, but like I think that's rare for bass players. I mean, most bass players kind of just hang out. I mean,
well,
you know, I feel like
you know when Dan asked me to join the band, we had played a lot of shows together when I was playing in the Dry Heathens. I was playing guitar in that band, and yeah, I was like jumping all over the stage. I was 22 years old or whatever,
right.
You know, being a lunatic, and. Dan always says that he saw me and he was like, I gotta get that guy a heavier instrument.
That's fine. That's awesome.
So yeah, I got a heavier instrument. I don't jump around quite as much, but yeah, no.
As you get older, the back acts up a little bit.
I learned to play rock guitar so that I could put on a rock and roll show.
Yeah,
that's what I still do.
It's half the equation, man. Yeah, it's a show, right? So
it's more than half. Are you kidding? I would rather see a band that fucked up every single song some point in it and was fucking running around crazy as hell. I'd much rather see that. Now, I wouldn't rather listen to that record.
Sure.
But no, for the show, for the most part, I'm not really interested in precision at a show.
No, yeah. It's much more the overall feel, right?
Yeah. Playing the fucking guitar for almost 20 years. Yeah. I know what I'm doing with that as well.
Right.
But well, yeah.
I happen to know this about you, that you sort of enjoy like food porn, you know?
I really do.
Looking through magazines and being like, oh shit, that, like, you know, that Osoboko.
It's one of my favorite things.
Yeah, so is that at all, like, I mean, like, food world, is that any, I mean, what can we learn? from the food photography. Yeah.
I mean, I enjoy that because I enjoy cooking and eating food.
Oh yeah.
And I enjoy that for the same reason that I enjoy making rock music or making art or building a shelf.
Right.
It's because I like making things. I like to conceptualize and then make a thing. And I like it to be easily and quickly consumable so that I can make another one.
Thing. That's interesting. Yeah, like food and like rock and roll songs and also like rock posters are all kind of that way, right? Like,
and
like,
they're very ephemeral.
Very.
So again, back to how long it takes and how difficult it is to make a screen-printed poster.
Yeah.
The thing that I love the most about it is taking one and then stapling it up outside so I can get fucking rained on and thrown in the garbage in a week and a half. I've always loved that.
Best, right?
Because that means it's gone. It was there.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it challenges you to make a new thing the next day.
For sure.
Yeah, man, food is
same. I mean,
I feel the same way.
You eat it so, like, you spend like 2 hours making this meal.
And that's our show. Thanks again to Steve Oliva and Spiderbags for letting us use that track, 90 Day Dog, from their album Someday Everything Will Be Fine, out from Merge Records. You can see all of Steve's work online at www.kitchenislandshowprints.com. And yeah, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, tell your friends, subscribe, all that good stuff. Let's jam again soon.